Now, we are at Sue Black's daughter's school, and they have done... Well, I think it's quite amazing. When I see sort of eight or nine girls stand up in assembly and talk, and they're all 7, 8, or 9, and they're all talking about coding and wireframing and everything else, you've got to think, well, you know, what is this myth about girls not wanting to code? I've always thought it was sort of, it's the context or the social context rather than the actual code.
Well, Emma Mulcreamy makes a strong case for getting them whilst they're young with this. You know, the Jesuits had a thing or two right for this. And that before a certain age, there is no gender difference, or there seems very little gender difference with how children take to this sort of thing. It's later on this starts to be seen as a sort of geeky boy type thing. Not that that excludes girls, young women from coding, but there starts to become more of a gender imbalance, perhaps, in some schools some of the time. So, yeah, at primary school, when you've got a whole gang of them, let's just get on and code something up and have a play with this. This is perfect age to start this sort of thing. It really is. It was nice seeing in the sort of feedback to parents. We had, you know, year ones coming along and watching the presentation and having a go. Why not? Really, you know, the sooner the better.
And what got me, again, about this whole setup is the fact that there seems to be, looking around at projects like this, and primary schools are the ideal place to do it, is you seem to have certain elements that seem to work. One of them is bringing in experts and mentors, a whole variety of people from different disciplines, if you want. They have their own disciplines. Teachers can't be expected to have loads and loads of disciplines unless they have a specialist subject.
One of the lovely things about being a primary school teacher is getting that expertise on almost everything. The topics that are there on the curriculum, it's a joy of the job, this notion of being the lifelong learner. I find myself teaching the Romans next term. I better start learning about the Romans. And, you know, yes, there's a huge demand on teacher's time, but that is a fun part of the job. But no, coming back to your point, there is a huge host of expertise on which schools can draw. You know, find me a primary school somewhere in the country which doesn't have somebody who's working in the tech industry as part of the extended school family. Very often as a school, there'll be a school governor who's into this sort of thing. If not, then somebody on the PTA. If not, then in the parent body, there are going to be folks who know about this, who care about this, and will come in and run workshops like this. I think though it's looking beyond the workshop, it's the work that carries on from today where the interesting stuff is. So we've just sort of sown seeds of ideas, and we hope that they're going to germinate in the terms ahead.
I think that's true, and I've also said to the Raspberry Pi guys, it's great, but they're going to have a massive interest in Raspberry Pis, but you've also got to furnish the human support system to back that up. Some people will do it of their own accord, but then again, in school. So it does have implications for school management in that sense. It seems to me that if you want to get your communities to do the heavy lifting, you need to open up your doors, because then you can have more people come in, like in evidence today. Yeah. So many different people from industry, people with media expertise, people with PR expertise, people, you know, from the training colleges, the ITE colleges, all those people.
I mean, you know, given that money is tighter than it ever has been in the past, why not make more use of the resources we've got here? And in part, that is empowering the people who are part of the schools, you know, staff. It's saying to teachers, look, you can do this sort of thing. You've got an idea, fine, run with it. I remember the head teacher in the school I was working at sort of a couple of schools ago now saying, you know, for his interview, he said, you know, asked what sort of head teacher do you want to be? He said, I want to be somebody who says yes. And that's stuck with me a long time now, of head teachers who will, you know, not be risk averse, who will say to the people they're working with, yeah, go on, you know, why not try it? But yeah, let's open that out and draw on the expertise of the community, draw on the expertise of the parents, but draw on the children's own expertise and enthusiasm. You know, the sort of thing which Google do with their engineers, saying 20% of the curriculum, you choose what you're doing. Why not, some of the time in school, let children have some say in what it is they're learning about and what they're teaching one another?
And also, I think that also goes for secondary schools in my book.
Well, yes, you know. Of course, we have the freedom in the primary sector that we're not as constrained by the exam system. But the same is true of the first 3 years of secondary school. So why not do more there? And, you know, in the latter part of secondary education, seeing education solely in terms of qualifications seems to deny the most of the opportunities that we could be making use of there. So let's broaden the picture and see that actually when it comes to getting places at Russell Group University or getting jobs in the industry, it's the portfolio, it's the projects, it's the people which are going to count rather than necessarily the GCSE ICT qualification.
Well, as ever, Miles, thank you so much.
It's been a pleasure. It really has.